I'm a big believer that a city has a soul, and it has a soul in large part, not just because of the people who live in that city, but because of some of the buildings in that city. And one of my favorite buildings, I am not a child of Beverly, the Beverly neighborhood, but I certainly talk and write enough about Beverly to be an adopted child of the neighborhood. Givens Castle is one of the most unusual buildings, certainly in this town and anywhere in the Midwest. And I've got to talk about it. Roberta Chalmers and Errol Magidson. Errol's been on the show before talking about his you know, exhaustive book. I mean, this book is astonishing. Chicago's Only Castle, The History of Givens Castle and Its Keepers. Welcome to the show, both of you.
Thank you.
Now, I said before that the castles in some danger, not perhaps of crumbling, but it needs help, doesn't it?
It does.
Roberta, how are you involved?
I am a member of the church that uses
Occupied,
the castle.
Yeah.
And I am a property manager by trade, so I offered to help with the restoration. The first issue that we had was a crack on the turrets, and that kind of led to the discovery of many more issues.
Errol, this is you've been in love with this building from the time that you were driving around, I think, with your late wife, and you stopped at the corner, and you looked up, and you saw
this thing. I saw this medieval castle. It looked
and
like
it changed
a real
your life.
Castle.
I mean, that stop sign changed your life.
I decided to live in the neighborhood and actually became a part of what was a group called Men of the Castle for many years.
Talk a little before we get into it, because you guys are going to be on all the way till another 40 minutes or so. The history of the place is fascinating to me.
Well, it certainly was fascinating to me. I mean, there were five different groups there, including three families. Robert C. Givens was the founder. It was his inspiration that had the castle built in 1886 and 1887. Legend has it that he saw a castle in Ireland, and that was the inspiration. But that, of course, is a legend. We don't really know.
Well, another great legend about Givens, and I would know nothing about this castle if it weren't for these people in the studio with me. And everything I've learned from them has increased my fascination. Givens arrived in Chicago as a teenager in 1863 with 10 cents in his pocket. Right. And a distinguished lineage in his native Canada. He got into the real estate game.
Yes.
And did well.
Oh, he did tremendously well. He was responsible for a lot of the homes and lots that were here in the Chicago area, including the suburbs. And, of course, when he came here, much of Chicago was much smaller than what it is today. There was much annexation that took place over the years when he was here. And he was responsible for selling lots and made a fortune. And
do you think that when he built the castle, that one of the reasons he owned a lot of property in the area? It's like Potter Palmer building, you know, Palmer's castle to help increase the land values of what is now the Gold Coast. What's your theory on his? I mean, obviously he built himself a fine home, but it also, he did it to help get other people to buy fine homes in the area, right?
I don't know that that's true. Some people believe that. He definitely wanted to live away from the hustle and bustle of the downtown area at the time. Everybody wants their home to be their castle, in a sense. And
sure.
I'm not so sure. He didn't need to make money off of that.
Yeah,
I mean, he had
yeah.
plenty. And So he was instrumental throughout Chicago of selling lots, and he was a part of the founder of the Chicago Real Estate Board,
right?
And also at one time the vice president of that organization, which is now the Chicago Association of Realtors, something like that.
Roberta Chalmers, are you a child of Beverly?
I live very close to the castle, not in Beverly, but very
close. Did you grow up there?
No.
Where'd you grow up?
Kind of all over, actually.
Okay.
Anyway. D.C., Kansas City, Corpus Christi, Texas. Well,
your father in the Air Force or something?
No, but my parents were just kind of liked to change, so we went all over.
What is it about? So when did you move? When did you first see the castle?
About 4 years ago.
What did you think?
I loved it, and I wanted to know the history of it.
Yeah,
because
it just begs.
Yes,
it should have, you know, some in neon. Hey, do you want to know what this is?
Exactly.
Come inside.
It's interesting you say that because we actually offer monthly castle tours now.
When did that start? I know you did it a while ago and then stopped.
And we restarted it in April. Actually, it will be ongoing the third Sunday of every month at 1, but because April was third Sunday was Easter, we did it on the 4th.
Yeah.
But going forward, it'll be third Sunday.
And who's going to those?
We have neighborhood community residents who are interested in learning more or seeing the inside, because everybody wants to see the inside of a castle.
Sure.
So community members, people who are visiting from out of town, family members that live nearby, bring them. Yeah.
You know, you do, aside from, Errol, you can get in on this too, aside from the regular church activities, you have, I mean, John Devins, the great folk entrepreneur, has been on the show a number of times. He's been having concerts there and at the Heritage Gallery just up the street.
Yeah.
I suppose it's a difficult thing to sort of kick up the number of public events, isn't it? It's hard, isn't it?
So-so. We're limited mostly by space. So the public events that we have need to be on the smaller scale, but I mean, it's big enough to hold a good size event. So,
few
people in there.
And Irma Eggenson, talk to me about the affection, you being relatively, and I mean relatively new to Beverly and seeing it when you were stopped at that corner. The people in Beverly have a deep, whether they attend services there or not, have a deep affection for that place because many of them went to preschool there. Many of them bought their Christmas trees there. Could you talk about that, what a firm part of that community this place is?
Well, the fact is that there's the Castle Academy that's been there for a good number of years, actually, since about 1960, although that wasn't the original name. But many children in the neighborhood actually went to that non-sectarian school, and they would call the building fondly my castle or the castle, and so they have lots of fond memories.
Especially a Christmas tree thing.
Oh,
too.
Yeah.
Oh,
we do the Christmas tree sales.
Yeah.
Yep.
So when you Roberta started to get involved, and you are professionally a building manager,
mm-hmm.
And it was discovered that, well, maybe this building needs a little bit more than, you know, spackle here and there. How did the organization to save it come about?
Well, I mentioned earlier we found a crack on the
right.
turret, and that kind of started an investigation on how deep it really went. And as they had some engineers come out and get into the sorts of issues, exactly, it became a much bigger issue. So we had an engineering study done to tell us all of the details of what needs to be done. And it
was it a list that kind of kept growing,
and growing. Yes, but at some point it stopped growing, and that's where we used as the jumping off point for where we would start. So they had that study for maybe 9 months before I joined the task force.
Mm-hmm.
And we call ourselves the Castle Keepers.
Oh, that's nice.
Yes.
That's nice.
And so we've had, since then, we had that engineering study tuned up a bit to match what we believe we can get done based on a feasibility study that we did.
Well, and finances.
For fundraising.
Yeah,
for fundraising. So...
How much do you need? I mean, what? Let me ask you. To fix the castle, to bring the castle up to contemporary building and every other conceivable kind of standard, what's the blank check?
$800,000.
That does not seem like much to me. It doesn't.
Right.
It literally doesn't.
Well, the church is who owns the building, and we have about 50 to 60 members. So
it's a small congregation.
Small congregation. But we are mighty. There's over 400,000 that's been raised just from internal fundraising.
You're kidding.
No.
So you're sort of almost halfway home.
Yeah. Yep.
But now is the time, if that's been the internal kind of thing, now is the time where you have to do a sort of serious outreach.
Yes.
To those concerts we were talking about, the John Devons concerts that have been held there, that's been a modest but effective fundraising tool, yes?
Yes. Yes. We've had some other success with donations through our website, Facebook. We are also expecting some good news from Beverly Bank soon. We believe that's going to be a pretty major gift, so that's good. We also had a major gift from a Lutheran church in Mount Greenwood that closed, and they had some funds from the closing.
So, Will, when work starts, will it be able to be done relatively quickly, and will the building obviously would have to be closed to do it all at once, yes?
No, actually, we can remain open. It's all exterior work that's being done. So it's all on the stones and on the roof level. And so it'll remain open. There'll just be scaffolding on the exterior of the building. So it shouldn't affect it that much.
Errol, this must please you no end, huh?
Well, I'm really glad that something's going to be done to fix that castle. And all the proceeds from the sale of the book or the DVD, all of that is going to that restoration fund.
Now, I know that there's some lousy bookstores in Chicago that don't carry the book. I know you can get this at the Newberry Library.
Right.
Correct. Chicago's only castle. Can they order it online, too?
Yes, it's available through Bookies in Beverly. In fact, I think they told me that it was their best-selling book.
It wouldn't surprise me.
But there's a movie, too, right?
I remember.
Yes, there's a film. Right, exactly.
You see, you have devoted a great deal of your professional life to this project.
I spent a year and a half for doing that film. Of course, I had a lot of help, and we just had a lot of fun doing that. And the book, Linda Lamberty was the editor of that book, and we actually had a lot of fun working on it. And it took a long time, but we finally got it done.
Well, it's a credit to you, and it's a credit to Beverly. It's an incredibly handsome book, and one that I actually wind up stealing from this book every time I write anything about Beverly or the neighborhood. And Linda did do a great job with helping you. We're going to continue this after the news, if you can. I just want to get to give people... And Roberta, this is on you, you know, websites to go to and offers that can be made and all that kind of stuff. So I will tell you, we'll get some news here, we can all relax for a second, that coming up, the stories that matter with Roger Badish from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. CD is called The Solo Phone, Chicago by the Chicago Soul Jazz Collective. My two guests, my fascinating guests here, are Roberta Chalmers, who is a crucial member of the effort to of the task force effort to save, resurrect, refurbish, and bring back to full healthy life Givens Castle, which is the title of Errol Magidson's book, Chicago's Only Castle. That it is, 103rd and Longworth Drive. If you're anywhere near Beverly, you'll find it. Don't let what happened to Errol happen to you, because Errol saw it the first time and has devoted half his life to telling its stories. There's some great stories. We talked about Robert Givens, this larger-than-life character who built the place. After he left, sold it, what happened to it?
Well, for a time, before he sold it, actually, the Chicago Female College, a secondary school for girls, was established by Thayer, and it was there for a couple years, and they prepared these young girls for college, actually. It was a college preparatory course for the higher colleges, including the University of Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
And after they were there, then the Burdett family lived in the castle. And J.B. Burdett was an inventor. He also worked with cars at the time, the steam cars.
Car races.
Right. Yeah. He was involved in car races. In fact, he used a gasoline-powered car. But at the time, there were the steam-driven cars and the electric cars as well. So, and he and his wife, Jessie, they were in a major race, 1901, and they won that race from Chicago to Joliet in their division. So it was a pretty exciting time for them. And they,
how did it come into the possession of the church? How did that happen?
Well, Givens wanted to sell the castle. Oh, the church itself, I'm sorry.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The church bought it at the end of 1941. It was 1942. What happened was there was this one of the church leaders was living in the Beverly Morgan Park community.
Mm-hmm.
And she was trying to have services in her home, because the church at that time was in Englewood, and it went under various names.
Mm-hmm.
But she was able to get the services in her home, and one day she was with the minister and his wife. They were driving down Longwood Drive. They looked up. They saw the castle, and somebody said, "Well, gee, I think that would make a fine church." And and she said, "Oh, yeah, well, I understand it's for sale." And they actually stopped the car, walked to the side door, or the front door, actually, one of them two, and knocked on it, and everything's history from that.
It holds not only a dear place in the hearts of people who grew up and still live in that neighborhood, or visit friends in that neighborhood. It holds a fascination for, I think, the larger city, because in Open House Chicago, which is a yearly event that during which many buildings that are not open to the public do open to the public, and you see long lines in front of places like what used to be the Tribune Tower. What happened during last year's Open House Chicago down there?
Well, there were about 3,000 people who walked through that castle on that weekend, and that's an amazing number. That was the second most attended facility outside the downtown area.
Wow. I'm not surprised, though, because it really fascinates people. Roberta Chalmers, you were talking earlier about having now, as one means of fundraising, too, of having weekly tours starting?
monthly
tours, yep. Sorry.
On the third Sunday of each month at 1 o'clock.
How do people discover that? And what's a website for people who want to start exploring your task force efforts?
Sure. So if people, we have many forms of ways they can find us. But so the website is givensbeverlycastle.org. And it's important that we know it's G-I-V-I-N-S. And Google will try to tell you it should be ENS, but it's not.
Mm-hmm.
If you prefer Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter, we are Givens Castle on all three places. And there's donation links on the website and on Facebook. We would appreciate all donations. And if any major donors want to come our way, I am available at all times to talk.
Yeah, no, they really should, because as I said before, I don't mean to toss around, ooh, $800,000, not much. You know, when a guy like Ken Griffin, Illinois' richest guy, buys a apartment in New York for, you know, $280 million, $800,000 does not seem like a hell of a lot of money to save a unique building. There are public spaces there. Has the church, with the success of John Devon's occasional concerts there, and these tours are probably going to do this too, I have the feeling, and both of you can tell me, that there may in the future be a way for this building to be shared with more of Chicago.
Yeah. Actually, we think of it as a community space anyway. We offer rentals of the castle. They can rent. We have actually two floors that are rentable. The first floor is kind of a meeting space or a ceremony space. And then the upstairs is can be like a banquet hall. And we've got a full-service kitchen. So it is available for community use.
Wow. And that could also, after this initial money and the renovations are done, that's an ongoing source of revenue that can, you know, be used to patch things. Errol Magidson, where can people buy your book? I know they can get it at the book great bookstore in the Newberry Library.
Well, the Bookies in Beverly has a special deal. It's also available on the internet through Amazon.
You can say Amazon. I know booksellers don't like it, but there are some people who can't leave their home. I mean, that's another thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I certainly am not recommending you buy everything from Amazon, but it is a fascinating book, and thanks to our mutual friend Linda Lamberty, too. It's it is so, the research in here is so sound, you know, it really is, and the illustrations are remarkable. When this God, I would have loved this Givens guy, you know, when he went to Europe, he would write stories for the magazine, as if, for the newspapers, as if he was, you know, a travel writer.
Right, he was very funny. I mean, he wrote about when he was in London. This would be 1892. He writes about the elevators there, and he say they're just not like the elevators we have in Illinois. The bellboy runs up with your luggage up the stairs, and you're in the elevator. He's already up there with the luggage. He's already in your room. He's already lit the candles by the time you get there. But, of course, it was even worse at the Uffizi Museum in Florence when Givens visited that museum. Evidently, they didn't even have electric elevators. They had four people running the elevator with weights, so that when, you know...
could start something like that now, and it would be the hippest health club in Chicago.
They would take weights off. The bigger, the heavier the person was. So, and when Givens got on there, he was a pretty big man.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, he weighed quite a bit, and they would say, "This a fatter man. You know, take off more weights."
Take it. Throw your shoes out there. Roberta Chalmers and Errol Magidson, and you too, Linda, over there. Shy, Linda. I so admire your efforts to do this, and I'm really pleased that you're sort of, in a way, halfway home. And if you start, because that's... And I'm sure that there are other, you know, you said something about the Beverly Bank, and there are other... I'm not from Beverly. I frankly can't imagine that corner without that castle.
Right. Actually, BAPA, who is in support of our restoration and helps us, they actually have a little banner on their weekly emails that say, "No castle on the hill, unthinkable."
Is that right?
Yes, they do.
Good, good.
That's the Beverly Area Planning Association.
Right. Yeah, they have a weekly newsletter called The Villager. Yeah.
Yeah, it's an amazing, I think, neighborhood, Beverly, and the surrounding. Where did, and also when you go down to the church, even if you go down to just look, Vicki Simmerling owns a fascinating, wonderful gallery about half a block east of the castle called the Heritage Gallery, where if you want a piece of Beverly, her father, Jack Simmerling, was a great artist, and also a fascinating guy,
yeah,
too, and a sweetheart. And he did watercolors and drawings and sketches of virtually every building in Beverly and every home. If you're ever invited to a home in Beverly and you don't see a Jack Simmerling on the wall, you're in the wrong place. I mean,
right.
Really, you're in the wrong place. Do they now? There used to be a nice restaurant called Cafe 103. Is that gone now? It's gone. It went out. Yeah. See, there are a lot of bars. There are a lot of bars and restaurants on Western Avenue, not far from the castle, where you can go after visiting the castle.
Yep.
So give me that website one more time.
It's givinsbeverlycastle.org, and
okay,
that's Givins.
And, Errol, where can people buy your book?
Well, Bookies in Beverly has a special deal for the book and the
Newberry.
The DVD. Yeah, the Newberry has it as in the library, but it's available on Amazon. Also, chicagosonlycastle.org, that's our website. That's chicagosonlycastle.org.
Well, it is wonderful to meet you, Roberta. I've known you for a while, and it's a pleasure for me to be with passionate Chicagoans.
Thank you.
And your piece of Chicago is at 103rd and Longworth Drive in the Beverly area. And if you're halfway home now, I'll do all I can to get you the rest of the way.
We really appreciate
that. I'm broke, so I can't do anything on a personal level. I would just tell all the Game of Thrones people aren't listening now because they're watching the Game of Thrones. So
right.
I may have to try some different means to get to them, maybe in 4 weeks when Game of Thrones is over.
Right.
I'm going to say congratulations. I know it's work is not done yet, and I know it's very energetic work, but I mean that really impresses me that you're halfway home, and it's a very, to my mind, very reasonable cost. I mean, mm-hmm, they're condominiums, half a block from where we're sitting that cost more than $800,000.
Right.
A lot of them. Roberta, Aaron, Linda, thank you, thank you, thank you, and keep me posted.
Yes,
will you please?
We will. Thank you very much for having us on.
Keep me posted.